Good day, and welcome to the Debt Crisis Increase conference call. For your information, this conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Rachel Heck, Head of the European Business of AllianceBernstein. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Good afternoon to our clients in Europe, and good morning to our clients in the Americas. I'm very pleased to introduce you to Darren Williams, who is our London-based senior European economist. Darren has just returned from a field trip to Greece, where he has met with key decision makers in government, opposition, as well as their advisors. Darren will walk us through three broad-based scenarios and their implications for how the Greek financial crisis can unfold. He will speak for about 15 to 20 minutes, after which we will open up for questions. Also with me in the room today are Steve Hussey and Dan Luffney. Steve is our senior analyst for financials in our credit team, and Dan is our London-based portfolio manager for sovereigns. Together, they will be able to answer any economic or portfolio management-related questions you may have. Darren, over to you.
Thank you, Richard. We are, I guess, now almost 2 years into the sovereign debt crisis in Europe. I think it is increasingly apparent to pretty much everyone now that Europe can't go on like this. And what I mean by that is that I think it is clear that either the institutional structures governing the Eurozone will have to change, or if they don't change, the membership of the Euro may have to change. But those are very big, deep, medium-term questions, which it's highly unlikely, in my view, we're likely to get an answer to in the near future. And I think for the near future, clearly for financial markets, the big question is, what is going to happen with respect to Greece? Will it receive further aid or will it default? So I'd like to focus on that today. As Richard mentioned, I was on a trip to Greece a few days ago, and I'd just like to first briefly run through my main takeaways from that, and then I'd like to move through the three broad scenarios we see for Greece over the next 3 to 6 months. And then to really ask the question, what if Greece does default? What are the implications of that particular event? So in terms of the trip to Greece I had a few days ago, I think three main findings. The first one is I think there is a general acceptance that the program, which was put in place in May of 2010, is failing. The EU and the IMF may not want to admit that. And the Greek government may not publicly want to admit that, but I saw very few people in Greece who thought the current program was working. So I think that's very important to bear in mind. The second point, and I think this is particularly relevant for anyone dialing in from outside of Europe, is that there is no real mainstream political party or faction of any mainstream political party which is currently recommending that Greece should either leave the euro or unilaterally default. I think most people, or most politicians and political advisors in Greece realize, and I think very rightly, that Greece receives an awful lot of financial support and financial aid from the eurozone, and that life outside of the eurozone would be very difficult indeed. So I think that's worth bearing in mind. I think the final point, and to me probably the most important takeaway, is that I was actually, I think, quite frankly shocked at the degree of complacency in Greece with respect to the sort of belief that almost regardless of what they did, the money would continue to flow from the rest of the eurozone. So I think there was a general opinion that Germany and the other core European countries were so scared of the fallout from a default that they would, under almost any circumstance, advance money to Greece. I think that is an unrealistic assumption. I think it's a very dangerous assumption. And I think when you see comments from German politicians and Dutch politicians, the European Central Bank, etc., on the whys at the moment, you should sort of bear that in mind. What is going on at the moment is a concerted effort, I think, to get Greece to realize that this is ultimately very serious and that if they do not make their commitments to reform, then the money will not continue to flow. So we will move in a second onto scenarios. I just first wanted to mention the potential trigger points that we have over the next few weeks. There are two key areas of discussion and debate going on at the moment. One is, will Greece receive the next tranche of $8 billion of funding, which comes was under the program that was agreed between Greece and the rest of the Eurozone in May of 2010. That is what is being discussed at the moment between the EU, the IMF and the Greek government. That's what's causing a lot of the headlines on the screen. The EU and the IMF will return to Greece next week. It is hopeful that Greece will have convinced them of their intentions with, you know, further cuts to public spending. And if they can convince the EU and the IMF, then at the beginning of October, European finance ministers will hold a meeting on October the 3rd, in which they will either agree to extend further funds to Greece or not. So that's the first trigger point. I think that's the, to some extent, the easier of the two trigger points. The second trigger point is the second rescue package to Greece, which was agreed in principle in July. That, to my mind, is a much bigger deal, and it's a much bigger deal because that will require passage by all of the national parliaments within the Eurozone. So even if Greece gets over the first hurdle, the second hurdle that it will need to overcome in October and perhaps through into November is the agreement on this second rescue package. To my mind, that is a bigger potential hurdle because it requires political acceptance elsewhere in the Eurozone. So what are the scenarios for Greece? We can see three broad scenarios. The first of the scenarios we've entitled muddle through. That is essentially the policy which has been pursued over the last 18 months and which for most of that period has been fairly successful. Under that scenario, we assume that Greece receives the next tranche of funding from the EU IMF and that it also receives the second rescue package. The problem with that scenario is that it doesn't solve the underlying problem. It's unlikely, in our view, to provide significant or sustained relief to financial markets. Put simply, the implementation risk in Greece is huge. And I think many investors will just conclude that all Europe is doing by advancing that money is simply delaying or deferring the point at which Greece is going to default. The other potential problem, in my view, with that scenario is that it, because of the uncertainty that engenders and because you're not dealing with the underlying problem, there is rising collateral damage to the rest of the Eurozone from continuing with the muddle through policy. If we don't muddle through and if the money doesn't flow, then Greece will default. There are two slightly different variants of a default. So our second scenario is an orderly default. I think that would, in my view, amount to official recognition that the program that has been adopted over the last year or so has failed, and that the only way that Greece can return to some form of fiscal sustainability is a huge write-off. And by huge, we're talking certainly above 50% write-off of the Greek government debt. Under an orderly default, there would be a new sort of EU IMF program for Greece. There would be continued support for the Greek banks, both in terms of ECB liquidity provision and in terms of recapitalization. So you would hopefully avoid a complete collapse of the Greek economy under this scenario. The key question, and one which I will return to in a few minutes, is whether or not, under an orderly default scenario, the contagion to the rest of the Eurozone can be contained. The third scenario is the disorderly default. To my mind, this is far and away the worst outcome for Greece. It would lose access to any sources of finance. It would have to balance its current account deficit and its budget deficit overnight. The economy would collapse. It would not receive support from the rest of the Eurozone for its banking system, which would also collapse. I think under this scenario, Greece could easily leave the euro. And I suspect there would also be very heavy contagion to the rest of the euro area. So those are the three broad scenarios. In terms of probabilities, I have to say that for scenario three, which is a disorderly default, everybody has the most to lose in that scenario. So to my mind, it is far and away the least likely of the three scenarios. I think choosing between scenario one, the muddle through, and scenario two, the orderly default, I think that is a much closer call Over the next 3 to 6 months, I think it is probably more likely that we will continue to muddle through. And I certainly think the probability that Greece will avoid a default is far higher than the market or many investors currently assume. But let's to finish just take the assumption that Greece does default, and then let's sort of follow through what we think happens from there. I think you could argue that if a default were contained to Greece and there was limited contagion from that to the rest of the Eurozone, particularly to systemically important countries like Italy and Spain, that to some extent that would be the best scenario for financial markets. It would remove a major source of uncertainty, and the losses, for example, to the banking system from a contained Greek default would, in our view, be fairly manageable. The key question is whether or not it could be contained. There are two basic schools of thought on contagion. One school of thought is that, the positive school of thought, I guess, which is that the market knows Greece is a special case. The market knows that the fundamental position in the likes of Italy and Spain is significantly better than it is in Greece. So that if you dealt with the Greek problem in a decisive fashion, you would provide certainty and stability, and you would allow the market to focus on those better fundamentals. So that is the sort of positive school of thought. I have to say it's not a one which I have a great deal of sympathy. I have much more sympathy with the alternate school of thought. That really goes as follows. Many investors around the world think, with good reason, I think, that the euro is flawed. With slightly less reason, they think that a whole host of countries within the eurozone are insolvent. And therefore, a Greek default would be seen as a precedent for all of those countries. And so you would very quickly see, after a Greek default, the transmission or contagion of that through to the rest of the eurozone. Countries like Italy and Spain would find it increasingly difficult to finance themselves in the market, and you would basically see a downward spiral result from that. As I've said, I certainly my view and our view is that that type of scenario is more likely to come about if we do see a Greek default. And that's why, from our perspective, it would be better avoided. If the contagion from a default does get too bad, then you have two potential bodies that can step in to try and prevent the problem basically leading to a collapse of the Eurozone economy. One is the Eurozone governments. Unfortunately, however much the governments want the euro to stay together, the simple fact is that they do not have the tools to react quickly enough to sort of forestall or prevent contagion. The only institution, in our view, within the eurozone which can prevent contagion from overwhelming the rest of the eurozone is the European Central Bank via its bond purchase program. As many people will be aware, that is an extremely controversial program. It has already led to the resignation of two German members of the European Central Bank. So the bottom line is that the ECB will not easily or readily step up its bond purchases. It will act as a circuit breaker. It will act as a lender of last resort if the tension rises and becomes too high. But it will not present a preemptive solution to the crisis. So in order to get the ECB to step up its bond purchases, I guess what I'm saying is that it will have to get more messy, and I think that is part of the problem. So that is essentially all I have to say. In summary, the outlook is clearly highly uncertain, both with respect to the medium-term prospects for the eurozone and with respect to the short-term. In my view, a Greek default is not a foregone conclusion, particularly not in the very near term. But there are absolutely no easy solutions here. And I think what that tends to mean from a global perspective is that Europe will continue to be a source of uncertainty and continue to unsettle global financial markets over the next several weeks and several months.
Thank you, Darren. While I let our audience think for a second about questions that they may have, can you comment on insolvency versus illiquidity amongst EMU countries?
So which countries are, in our view, insolvent and which countries have a liquidity problem? I think virtually all of the countries almost outside of Germany have a liquidity problem of one sort or the other at the moment. Solvency is a movable target. In my mind, it depends on a number of factors. It depends on the growth backdrop. It depends upon the interest rate that you can finance yourself at. I think in most people's minds, Greece is technically, if not actually, insolvent. I think there are significant question marks and doubts about Portugal. I think Ireland is not insolvent and has a fair chance of working its way out of its current problem. I think for Italy and for Spain, there ought not to be any near-term, and I stress the words ought not to be, any near-term solvency issue. But as I said a few minutes ago, solvency is a sort of movable. There are a number of factors which determine solvency. And I think one of the problems we have at the moment is that growth is clearly slowing, both globally and particularly within Europe. It's particularly slowing in the periphery. And their funding costs have risen, and there's no realistic hope in the very near future that those funding costs are going to come down significantly. So in that sort of environment, you will have continued doubts as to whether both Italy and Spain are solvent. So it's almost a market. The problem is that the market can almost determine whether a country is solvent.
The information contained here reflects the views of AllianceBernstein LP or its affiliates and sources it believes are reliable as of the date of this publication. There is no guarantee that any projection, forecast, or opinion in this material will be realized, and the views expressed may change at any time after the date of this publication.